then he sings this, "Where you go, I'll go, and I'll follow you." And so thinking about these words, and I'm like, do we really believe what we say and sing? Will we really follow him? Will we go where he goes? Will we? I don't know. So that's kind of what we're talking about today. That's good. I'm not Steve. You're probably wondering why every week somebody comes up here and says, "I'm not Steve." That's because we're not. And it just worked. He asked me probably a month ago or something if I could fill in. Sure, I'll do that. And just the way it worked out, it happened one after another. So I am not Steve. But I'm excited to be here. My name is Dave Hughes. And I've worked with college students for 22 years, something like that. So I love this time of year because I love to see new faces and familiar faces back. And people are getting done with summer. So it's always fun this time of year. So really, really enjoy it. Can we do something that maybe it'll bug the cameraman and screw up the internet stuff, but I think we should just pray, okay? If you're a believer here today, if you would just pray silently. If you're not a believer here today, just maybe ask the Lord what in the world. But we're going to spend 180 seconds, 3 minutes, just silent and praying. I'll close in prayer. But let's just pray. Because we live in a crazy world. And there's only one that's stable. And so I think we should do that. So I'll go ahead and close. I'll set my timer. 3 minutes, not too bad. Half of you could run most of a mile in 3 minutes, so we're good. So let's just pray. Let's just spend some time with the Lord this morning. God, you are holy. You are the God that gives us the ability to love. You give us joy and peace and patience. You're the God of kindness and gentleness, self-control. And sometimes our world seems as if it's spinning out of control. Families against families, friends versus friends. And all the while, we just forget to look to you. And we sing about following you, but sometimes we don't even build margin into our lives to pray and to seek you and to talk with you and to listen. And so I just pray for us. I pray for our governor. I pray for our country. And I pray for people to come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you for the little 3-minute thing. So today we're going to have a little interaction, so just get geared up. For those of you that are introverted and get scared when I say that, that's okay. We're giving you a little time to warm up. And for those of you who are real talky, that's okay. You know, we might need some time, maybe a test as well. So I'm finishing August out, and it's been a great month to hear all the speakers. And does anybody know what all the weeks were about, all the sermons just this month? I'll help you. Here's your cheat sheet. So the first week, Steve was preaching. The second week, Mike Bain. Third week, John Remeyer. Last week's an easy one. Adam spoke. And this week, me. So does anybody know what week one was about? I know this year most months seem like two or three put together, but it was only 4 weeks ago. So week one, what is the church? So Steve spoke on why church. What is it? What is it for? Why do we do what we do? Being a Christian and not being a part of the church is kind of like being a football player and not having a team. It just doesn't make sense. And so he talked about that. He said, church isn't a podcast. It's not something we check off our list. To quote him, he said, the church is something we belong to, not something we go to. I was reading a quote by Leonard Sweet this week, or some of his stuff. And he said, when will the church realize that the building of the church has nothing to do with a building? And I was like, amen, right? So week one was Steve of why church, why are you here? Week two, you can't answer it. You already answered. Week two, Mike spoke. Week two, we'll give this section a break because they probably weren't here. That means this section has to. What heaven looks like. What's heaven about, right? And our future. And good job. See, we got people taking notes, listening. I like it. Week three, John Remeyer. Week three, the peace, the presence of God, and peace over anxiety. Okay, last week, this ought to be easy. Now this group can partake, huh? You guys were all here. Week four, Adam was speaking. Three people can't answer this because they already answered one. No. Anyone? Freedom. Yep. So it was a journey into Galatians and freedom over the law. Righteousness by faith, and the freedom that we have for that is Galatians 5 is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So don't be burdened any longer by a yoke of slavery and the freedom that we have in that. And that's not something that we do. It's not like, hey, this week I went to church, right? Adam was talking to that. So the scale, I got a lot more good on this. And so this week I can do what I want to and live the way I want to, and so we better do. Nope, it has nothing to do with that, but it's our relationship with Christ. So how do we keep in the forefront of our mind the body of Christ or the church, like Steve talked about, the importance of our future, heaven, where we're going to dwell with the Lord forever, and remain in the presence of God and have peace over anxiety, especially in times like this? And then how do we keep from falling back into the law and keeping all these rules and not do that. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. And that's a little bit what the last song was about too. So I figured, since Adam let us out a little bit early and John let us out a little more and Mike let us out a lot early, if I add all those times together plus my time, then we'll have plenty of time to get through it, because we're going to talk about the theological stance on postmodern dispensationalists that haven't accepted the gifts of baptismal regeneration yet in this life. So, no, what does that even mean? I don't know. I'm just teasing. We're not gonna go there. We might even get out early. Who knows? If you're a follower of Christ today, if you're a believer, this is for you. This message is for you, because we need this. But if you're here today and you're visiting, or maybe you're not a believer and you're not sure where you stand with Christ, this is for you, because we need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. Jerry Bridges wrote a book years ago called The Gospel for Everyday Life, or for Real Life, I can't remember. And we just need it. We need it every day. We need him every day. A while back, Steve, this is quite a while back, but he asked a question about rule followers and not rule followers. Julie's already smiling. She knows me. She knows me. Who here is a rule follower? By show of hands, rule follower. You can raise them. It's okay. They're like, I guess so. Who's here not a rule follower? See, those hands usually go up faster and higher. Right here. Some would say that I'm not a rule follower, that I'm a rule breaker. Julie's shaking her head because she knows me. But I don't think I'm a rule breaker. I'm a rule finder, where they are and where they're not. Or I like to maybe I'm a rule challenger, and I see which ones are inconsistent and which ones are just dumb. And so maybe I'm not quite a breaker, I'm just more adaptive, and people haven't figured that rule out yet. So just an example, years ago, my wife and I used to help with Awana, and this is a club for kids at a church, and they do scripture memory and study things, but they have a game time. They have a huge circle that they do activities on. So I'm an Awana leader, and I'm helping, and they have these lines equally spaced, and this is where your team starts, and they're doing a relay. It's almost like a baton race. And so they said, here's the rule. You can't hand off that baton before this line, but you have to hand the baton off from one kid to another before you can go. Okay, I'll obey that rule. So the kids are out there, and usually the kids come up to the line, and then they hand it to their friend. So I'm watching the first group go through. I'm like, well, this is silly. So I got my kids together, and I said, you're going to start running way back here. And when this guy comes up, you're just going to grab that baton and go. And so we smoked everybody. I mean, we just destroyed. We're running laps around him. They said, Dave, you can't do that. And I'm like, your rule said, you can't hand it off before this line. We handed it off after. Yeah, but you're running. You didn't say that. So I'm one of those guys. Another one from years past is I had high school counselor. And so she made the mistake. I thought it was a challenge, but maybe it was but she said, you will have to have 2 years, probably 4 years of foreign language to get accepted into a college. They won't accept you if you don't have foreign language. I thought, challenge accepted. And maybe it wasn't a challenge. I wish she was around. She probably doesn't. I don't even remember her name, so it's not that important. But I've received my master's and never taken a foreign language class. Challenge accepted, right? Don't tell me that. My mom used to say, David, if you would just do what they say instead of finding a way around it, things might go quicker and easier. And I was like, isn't that what sheep and cows do right before slaughter? They just do what they're told to do, and they end up dying. And maybe that's cousins in town, and we were talking about Charlays and how knot-headed they are and always jumping fences. And maybe that's why I don't like them, because they remind me of me. They're always just going. So anyways, rules, what are they even for? So today we're going to be in John 2. And we're going to be in verse 1 through 2. And we're going to touch into one rule, one specific part in this. But before we get into that, you can go ahead and turn to it. I'm going to show you two little clips of a video, and there's going to be just a little test at the end. So you'll have to pay attention. Two small clips. These clips are from the series The Chosen. If you haven't seen it, and there's only one season out, incredible, incredible. It's just incredible. I love it. And this is probably one of my favorite episodes and one of my favorite scenes in this. And I was just watching it the other day and kind of going through it, and I got all teary-eyed. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is crazy. So to set it up, the first scene, there's some of Jesus' disciples at a table, and I think Peter's there and Andrew and Mary Magdalene, Thaddeus maybe, James, maybe John, I can't remember. But they're at a table, and they're talking about how they met Jesus and things like that. So that's the first one. And then the second one, again, they're at this wedding in Cana, and they run out of wine. And Jesus' mother is there, and she comes up and talks to Jesus. So those are the two video clips. So go ahead and play the first clip and pay attention again. There's a test.
Do you think he would let you freeze?
My brother has many worries. I keep reminding him of when our Abba taught us how to fish. He just sat there and watched until we became fishermen.
Mm-hmm. We will watch him. And watch and watch and watch.
She ended that one with, "I think we'll watch him forever." Go ahead and play the next one right away.
Andrew, you see, even my own mother will join us in the song again.
There's another one.
But it's only the first day?
Yes, and it's all gone. Now that they're all left.
Why are you telling me this?
We can't let the celebration end like this. And Esther's family humiliated.
Boys, go join the others.
It still gets me. That's just a great scene. So the first scene, what did Mary Magdalene say? We'll watch him, I think. We'll watch and watch and watch. Maybe forever. Watching Jesus. What does that even look like? Okay, second scene. The wedding feast is going on. They run out of wine, and Jesus comes and stops, or Mary comes, Mary the mother of Jesus comes, stops him in this little hallway, talks to him. What did she say at the end? Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. What do you think that looks like today? To watch? To watch, to watch, and to do whatever he tells you. So what do you think, this isn't a pass or fail deal right now, but growing up, there's things that we learn about the Christmas story that we find out aren't true, and there's some things that we do find out true or whatever, but in your life, what do you think are some things that Jesus tells us to do? Maybe you're thinking, but it's about freedom. He doesn't tell us to do anything. Okay, maybe you could say that too. What are some things? You can just shout them out.
Love our neighbor.
Forgive.
Make disciples.
I think you hit them all. I'm just teasing. Faith. Have faith.
Deny yourself.
Abide. It's a tough one. Trust. You've trusted God. Trust also in me, he says. Anything else? I mean, he says a lot of things, right? If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, there's all kinds of red in there. I know he says, you know, oh, you've heard it said, but I tell you, or I tell you the truth. He told some guys, go untie a colt. I don't think we're going to talk about that today. I'm not saying go untie a colt or something. It might not work. But we're going to look at some things that Jesus tells us to do. So we're going to read through that passage, the scene that we just saw. We're going to read through that in the Bible. And then I'd like to share with you guys some things that have stood out to me over the years of following Jesus that I think are non-negotiable. These are things that when rightly related with Christ, this is what happens. And I don't think it's optional for those that are Christ followers. So John chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, it says, the next day Jesus' mother was a guest at a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother spoke to him about the problem. They have no more wine, she told him. How does this concern you and me? Jesus asked. My time has not yet come. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. 6 stone water pots were standing there. They were used for Jewish ceremonial purposes and held 20 to 30 gallons each. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled to the brim, he said, dip some out, take it to the master of the ceremonies. So they followed his instructions. When the master of the ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come, though, of course, the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. Usually a host serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone is full and doesn't care, he brings out the less expensive wines. But you have kept the best until now. So I think it's really, really just cool that they're at this party and Jesus makes wine. He makes a lot of wine. But he makes the best wine, and enough so that the guy leading the whole thing brings the bridegroom over and says, this usually doesn't happen. The stuff comes out when people don't care. But when people don't care, that's right when Jesus stepped up to the plate and started doing things. And people were amazed, but you have kept the best until now. But the phrase that I want to look at is in verse 5. His mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. So this is an important saying. I think this is a huge saying that Mary, the mother of Jesus, says. If I'm correct, and if I'm not, you can come tell me later, that's fine. But I think these are the last biblically recorded words of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So take that in. The last words that Mary, the mother of Jesus, said are, do whatever he tells you. She didn't say, why don't you come talk to me? We'll make sure it's right. Then I'll talk to him. She wasn't the liaison. She didn't say, pray to me, and then I'll talk to him. She didn't say, go to a pastor, or go to this, or go to that. She told these servants directly, do whatever he tells you. Super important. I mean, those are her last words that we know of. Again, I could be wrong on that part, but they're still important. And Jesus, for those of you that are wondering, Jesus wasn't disrespecting his mom. Some of your Bibles might have said, woman, this doesn't concern me. But that's a respectful term that he used. She wasn't taken back by it. She didn't scold him or anything. So there's this interaction here of something that's really important. So a friend of mine asked when he was speaking to a group, and he said, can you be a Christian and not follow Jesus? Can you be a Christian and not follow Jesus? And there was some in this group that said, well, sure, I can be a Christian and not follow Jesus. So start thinking about that a little bit too. Christian, Christ one, Christ follower, but not be a follower of Christ? How does that even happen? But there's churches filled with people that don't really follow Jesus. They come for this event. They come for a great talk from a hired holy man or great music, and they hear a great encouraging sermon, and then the rest of the week they don't do what he tells them. Maybe they don't even listen. Maybe they don't even seek, but they're not following. There's an old Jewish saying that disciples used to say about their rabbis, but they said, may the dust of my that's caused from my teacher's feet cover my head. And they would say that because they wanted to follow their teacher so closely that just the dust from him walking would cover them. And so this is what we're asked to do, is to do whatever he says. So these are things that I've learned over the years that Jesus said that they changed my life. They should change all of our lives. And this isn't a 10 ways to be a better Christian or 9 whatever. I do have them. I do have a little box right here, see, that you could check off. But that's not a checkoff list, so I can see what's going on. And you notice that, Adam? I didn't have to go to the printer to get mine. That's I handwrite them out. Typing makes my hands hurt. So, but these are things that Jesus tells us to do that, or says that I think we need to do. So the first one's in John 5:24. He says, I tell you, anyone who hears, let's see, which one is this? Anyone who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He will not go under judgment, but he's crossed from death to life. So I tell you, anyone that hears me and believes crosses from death to life. And in John 14:6, it might be a little bit, he says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this isn't something that he directly tells you to do, but he tells people, I tell you the truth. If you believe, so he's kind of telling us, if you believe, do we believe him? I think one of the best sayings in the Bible, Jesus is talking to a guy about healing, and Jesus said, yeah, I can do this if you believe. And the guy says, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. See, the belief sometimes seems tough, but he's just saying, believe me, trust me. You're not going to be condemned anymore. You'll cross from death to life. The next thing that I've learned, Matthew 4:19, Jesus is talking to Peter, I believe, and he turns to him and he says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. This can't happen. This following Jesus can't happen at a glance. You know, you're driving down the road and you kind of glance at something and you're like, man, I wonder, was that for sale? Was that, or whatever it was. If you stare at it too long, you're going to end up in the road ditch. See, following Jesus isn't a glance. It's a stare. It's something that we have to continually fix our eyes on him and follow him wherever he goes. That song says, where you go, I'll go. What you do, I'll do. Where you serve. I'll follow you. We sing that, but do we really do that? Jesus asks us, everybody, follow me. John 10:27, he says, my sheep know my voice. Do you know his voice? Because it's really hard. Jesus is always at work. He's always moving. And sometimes we think, oh, he's up on stage and at church every Sunday over in the corner, or he's on a cross, or he's on. Jesus is active. He's working in people's life. He's moving. He's going. And if we're not focused on him, we're not following him. But if we're asking him to bless what we're doing, we're probably outpacing him. It's hard to follow somebody that you're outpacing. See, both comes true. To stay in step with Christ, stay in step with the Spirit and be led by him, we have to focus on him. We have to know his voice. What does his voice sound like? Luke 18, this is an interesting, I don't know, it just kind of struck me, or it struck me for years. But Jesus says, let the little children come to me. Don't stop them from coming. And so he says, let them come to me. And I think what stands out to me is he says it in a way that almost shows that they're just going to come to him. I think there's something innate in every single person created, every being that God has breathed his life in, that is drawn to Jesus. And sometimes we stop that, or we prevent that, or there's people in there, and there's harsh consequences for those that have caused a little one to go somewhere else. But he says, let them come to me. Are we allowing that to happen? Okay, another thing, Matthew 6:5, this is, some people say this is the Lord's Prayer. He's kind of teaching the disciples how to pray. I think a more accurate rendition of Jesus' heart when he prays is in John 17. But anyways, he's teaching in Matthew 6:5, he says, when you pray, he doesn't say if you pray, but he says, when you pray, do it like this. And so he gives us this outline in Matthew 6:5. He also gives us the example. So Jesus doesn't just stand on this podium and tells you what to do and never does anything. But Mark 1:35 said, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, went to a solitary place where he prayed. So he gave this example to his disciples, those people that he's investing in. When you pray, oh, just for note, I'm going to pray too, he's telling them. And where's Jesus? Oh, he's praying. He prayed a lot. He talked to the Father a lot. He knew their voice. When you pray, so I think there's an underlying thing of you should pray. You should be praying. You should be seeking him. The next thing that I've learned is Matthew 22:37-8 of what Jesus tells us. He replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And this is the first and the greatest commandment. Okay, this is a quote from the Old Testament, but Jesus is like, you have to love God. This life isn't going to work. You're going to struggle. And if you don't love God and rightly related to him, there's nothing else. So love God. The next thing, Matthew 22:39, it's the second part of this. You need to love others or love your neighbors as yourself. Now, this is the hard one, I think, for most people. This is the neighbor, right? This is the Samaritan. This is the people that the Jews didn't like. These were people that were hard to love. Let's think of some modern day examples. This is rioters. This is Trump lovers. This is Democrats. This is independents or Tea Party people or what. I don't know, however many parties are out there, whatever. But these are people that are hard to love. You might sit there and say, this is impossible. Yes, it is. It's impossible without Christ living through us. We're called to love others. The next one is found in Matthew 6:34. It's found in 31. It's found in 28. But Jesus said, don't worry. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. But he says, don't worry. And then he goes on in, I think, verse 27. He says, which one of you can add a cubit to your height, or which one of you can add a single moment to your life by worrying? How many of us right now in this time period of 2020 can say, oh yeah, live that one every day? He says, don't worry. You can't change anything about your life by worrying. Aren't birds more important than you? What about those flowers? They're dressed way better than you. Don't worry. Don't worry. Matthew 28:20 says, I am with you always. And so this is for the believer. And why would we worry when we're comforted with these words, some of the last words Jesus spoke? But he said, he's telling his disciples what to do when he leaves, and then he ends it with, I'm with you. Always. So why would I worry? John 16:33 says, you will have troubles in this world, but take heart. I've overcome them. What? That doesn't even make sense. I'm having troubles, but he's overcome them? See, for those that are believers in Christ, he lives in us. And when we allow him to live through us, these troubles, they're nothing. To love somebody that I should be hating, I can't do it, but he can. So through me, we can. Take heart, I've overcome the world. The next one is another difficult one. John 13:35. And this is how they will know, or you'll prove to the world that you're my disciples, for your love for one another. So I want to share a little bit out of a devotional book that a dear friend wrote of mine. It's called Ordinary Radicals. And there's a devotional for each week. Dave Metters wrote it. So I want to read just a little bit of why he chose the name Ordinary Radicals, and then read something that he says about John 13. But the word Ordinary Radicals was chosen because the word ordinary implies that anyone can follow Jesus and make disciples. Did you hear that? Anyone can follow Jesus and make disciples. This Advent is available for the school teacher, the mechanic, office secretary, business executive. It's not limited to those in ministry positions as a vocation. It's everybody. So that's why ordinary that's what it implies. And the word radical was chosen because in our world, there are only some of those that are willing to venture out of a comfort zone of Christianity and actually disciple men and women in a lifestyle that consists of time outside of religious structures. These people do their discipling by being in real life situations with those they are helping to follow Jesus. And that's radical, because you don't know where real life takes you. Maybe someday the person you're discipling has a car wreck and you spend a day in a hospital. Maybe they're rejoicing over something. Life, everybody's life is going different places, different times, different speeds. And if you're available to invest in and be invested in, it might take you down a radical path. An ordinary radical is available to God in whatever venue they will connect with people who are not yet following Jesus. Are you available to God wherever he takes you? To connect with non-believers. So there's an old song that says you can't roller skate in a buffalo herd, but I would add that you can be with people and make disciples anywhere. So you might not be able to roller skate with a buffalo, but you can disciple people anywhere. Okay, this is what he has to say about John 13:34-35. Remember what it says before we go in here. It says, this is how they will know that you're my disciples, is because your love for one another. So this is a new command Jesus gives. Some of the passages say, a new command I give you. But Jesus was about to introduce an expectation of discipleship that is one of the most violated commands today. To love one another. One of the most violated commands today. So you might say, well, Dave, that's in there twice. Well, the first one deals with people that maybe aren't believers, kind of those people you don't like. This one's deals with believers, that they'll know you're my disciples, love for one another. And he writes, this is probably one of the most violated commands today. How many times have you seen people in religious circles professing to be believers disagree and they're gone? So I think I talked to him about this, but my boss and I hope that we're an example of this, because there's times that we disagree, that we rub each other, and it's for the good. We're sharpening burrs off one another. Iron sharpens iron, but we're committed to love one another. Whether we agree on a situation or a stance or not, we're committed to love one another and we continue to invest in people. And hopefully our world, our sphere of influence will just go, wait, why are they so different? But they still love each other. But this doesn't happen. Time after time, you see somebody in a church that, man, I like the red pews. Well, I like brown chairs. And, well, we're going to go start our own church. Hey, great. That's not great. See, when we're called to love one another, it's okay to disagree. But we still need to love one another. So the last thing, Matthew 28, 19. We alluded to Matthew 28, 20 earlier. But Jesus says, as you go throughout the world, make disciples. So he says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. So if you take this, just take out the teaching to obey, because for all you rule breakers out there, you don't want to hear that. But Jesus has said, go make disciples. So he's telling the disciples that he's made to make disciples. So essentially he's saying, go make people disciples that make disciples and teach them, show them, put into practice everything that I've done, that I've exampled for you, and teach them to do the same thing. That's only done by following Jesus. And again, he finishes this up with, I am with you always. So why should we fear? If you're here today and you know any scripture, you're a step ahead of somebody that doesn't. If you're here today that knows how to pray, you're a step ahead of somebody that doesn't. You're always able to reach somebody and lead them because you're always ahead of one other person. And I think those are things that aren't negotiable. He doesn't say, hey, I hope you do this, but if not, that's okay. These are things that he's given you the opportunity to do. Because we're rightly related to him, they come out in that way. So after hearing Jesus' words, and Mary's do whatever he tells you, what implications does that have in my life? What implications does it have on you? When you go through the Bible and it says do whatever he tells you, but maybe you're sitting there thinking, yeah, but Dave, you don't understand. I'm not a disciple maker. You know, I love going to church. I love worshiping God. But I can't make disciples. Well, was that Matthew 19, 20, 28, 19? Well, let's take that out. Well, I got 22. Yeah, don't worry about that. So let's take that out. What other one do we not like? Leave him in. He says leave him in there. But I know somebody's got a neighbor that doesn't agree with you politically or on this coronavirus thing. So let's take out John. Let's take that one out because that doesn't matter either, right? We can get this down to whatever you want it to say, if you want to. What's another one? Yeah, I can't love those people. Well, what about the people that disagree with you in your theological stance? This is how they'll know you're my disciples, John 13:33. Just take the whole page. Right? This is what we're telling Jesus. You know, your words really don't matter. Follow you, Matthew 4:19. Maybe. Yeah, whatever. See, we say, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. We sing, I'll go where you go. I'll do what you do. Except that one. I don't want to do that one because I'm not comfortable with that one. So essentially, don't open it or just rip the pages out. I got a knife. We can cut just words out if you want. We can fine tune it. It doesn't matter who our neighbor is or what their stance is, and it doesn't matter the disagreement we might have with somebody in our sphere of influence. It doesn't matter if we we're in a spot in life where we're going bankrupt and we don't have enough money, Jesus' words are still true. And they all begin with Mary's, his mother's last words. Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. And we're told over and over again. And this isn't a list to just obey because I can try. Okay, I'm going to try to love my neighbor. It's not going to work. It's only through Christ that lives in me that all these things are possible. If we say we're a Christian, if we say we're a Christ one, a Christ follower, then we need to do what he says. In John 14, Jesus is talking about those who love him. And he says, those that love me, the result is obedience. And again, it's not the obedience that, oh, I got to do this or I'm going to get cracked with a whip. It's because our love for him is that intense. The result, we're following him. We're not going to be disobedient. We end up being obedient, almost second nature because he's living through us. So the last two questions, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Are you rightly related to him? Otherwise, it's just a list of chores, a list of things to check off. Well, I did it this week. Well, I kind of screwed up this week, so I better do it twice next week. See, when we rejoice that we're rightly related with him, it's easy to do what he says because we love him. And it's just a natural outflow and product of our life. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your love, for your compassion. Thank you for your words. And I'm grateful that your mother told those servants, do whatever he tells you. And Lord, help me do whatever you tell me. Help me follow you. Help me love you. Help me love others. And I'm grateful that I'm rightly related to you. And if there's somebody that's not rightly related to you, I just pray that your peace would just come over them and that they would start asking questions and that they would ask people that do know you. And I pray for those that do know you that they would make disciples that make disciples and love one another, that you would be glorified throughout the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.